our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our God and our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The trailer for the movie is downright frightening. It begins with these words. Mankind's earliest civilization warned us that these days would come. Those words end as the sun itself is eclipsed, foreboding all sorts of darkness to come. In the darkness that it forebodes is revealed upon the screen. Huge concrete statues fall. Riots begin. All the creatures of the earth flock around in chaos. Religion is quieted. Asteroids fall. Cities are laid waste. The Sistine Chapel's exquisite ceiling cracks in two. Entire coasts are cast into the heart of the sea. Skyscrapers crumble. Aircraft carriers are cast onto the land. Civilization lies in ruin. The movie is called 2012. And to this point, it has grossed several $100 million. I suppose if it was just a movie, we could dismiss it. But you see, the truth is, this movie is based on the fears of a very real group of people who have as of late been spreading their theories abroad on the internet and anywhere else they can get a hearing. You see, this group of people believes that the Mayan calendar, a very ancient calendar, indeed predicts the end of the world in the year 2012. And so these people that believe this have begun to speculate on all sorts of things that might happen on a particular day in 2012. Yes, they believe this calendar ends December 21st, 2012, and so that on this day, everything will be destroyed in spectacular ways. But you know, it's not just those Hollywood sensationalists that make movies, or those internet crazies and their websites that like to talk about the most magnificent possibilities of the end of the world. No, indeed, even Christians who talk the most about what will happen in the last days always focus in on those most magnificent things that could happen. Indeed, Timothy LaHaye sold over 65 million copies of his book series, Left Behind, by focusing in on all the spectacular things that could happen at the end. Yes, it seems like, at least in our day and age, and I suppose it's always been so, that if you want to talk about the last day and you want to keep people's attention, you better be ready to talk about the spectacular. Well, today, at the risk of losing your attention, I must let you know that I am going to talk about the last days today, but I'm not going to talk about the attention getting stuck. And I should be clear, the Bible does make clear that in the last days there will be attention getting stuck. There will be sights to behold and there will be things that happen that have never happened before. But the Bible makes equally clear that those things are not to capture our total attention. There are other things that godly people should be considering about the last days. Today we focus in our thoughts on the words given to Jude. You see, Jude is one of the smallest books in the Bible. One of those books in the Bible that you can flip past many times before you'll actually land on it. It actually occurs right before the book of Revelation. And Jude and Revelation together both speak about the last days. But when you read them, you might think they were writing about two very different times. For Revelation is filled with the sensational, while Jude is very simple indeed. God assures us that they speak of the same day, a day that will contain both sensational things and things that might not catch your attention if you weren't looking for them. Yes, Jude's letter is quite boring when it comes to all the things we see revealed in images in the book of Revelation. But Jude's message to us is just as important. For while it doesn't talk about events that would require great special effects to duplicate on a movie screen, it does talk about things that will indeed bring destruction in the last days. You see, all 25 verses of the book of Jude essentially warn us about one thing that will be present throughout the latter days, which the scriptures teach us we live in even now. So what is that one thing, that one simple, non-sensational thing that Jesus calls our attention to through Jude? He says that we must watch out for false teaching within the church. Oh, I know that images of false teachers don't exactly make for an exciting movie trailer. But Jude reminds us today that they are at least as destructive as the things that do. So all those things that make good movie trailers can destroy landmarks and even end people's physical lives, false teachers can reach in and rob people of their eternal hope and salvation. And while you and I know that we should be more concerned with our spiritual lives than our earthly well-being, it doesn't seem that in the world we always think that way. I can almost guarantee you that if in next week's paper I put an advertisement that said that on Tuesday of next week we were going to have a meeting about an asteroid that was cascading towards Earth, and then that on Thursday we were going to have a meeting exposing the lies of a false teacher in the church, we'd almost certainly have a bigger crowd for the asteroid talk. You see, people love the spectacular. They love the sensational. But today, we who gather around the Word must allow ourselves to be instructed about the power that false teachers have to destroy in these last days. That way we will watch out for their influence as intensely as we would ponder those cataclysmic events that everyone else wants us to focus on. Especially the day you and I live, it's very hard to take to heart the word that Jude gives. The word that false teaching is utterly destructive. But you see, in our day and age, we're actually quite lax about false teaching. In the ancient church, false teachers were almost always identified, and quite often they were executed. But even when that practice ended in the early church, the church continued to make specific confessions of their faith. And when they did, they would always list not only what they believed, but also the specific teachings and teachers that they condemned. Let's take out a copy of any Lutheran book of confessions that you might have at your home, and you will see listed there all sorts of false teachings that our church fathers condemned. And in our day, it seems very rare that someone in the church would actually make a solid confession about specific biblical teaching. And it is considered in our day almost unloving and intolerant to identify someone else in the church as a false teacher. Can't we all just get along? That's the cry of the modern Christian church. You see, to identify a false teacher in the church is looked at as divisive and unloving. But yet Jude tells us that the divisions do not come from the people that are pointing out the false teachers, but the false teachers themselves. Yes, he says that it's the false teachers that cause division, because ultimately they are worldly people devoid of the Spirit. And so to point them out is not to break the Christian church into many pieces, but rather to recognize the divisions that those teachers have brought into the church through their false teachings. No doubt this work of looking for false teachers in the church is much harder, socially speaking, in our day than it was in the generations in the past. Well, you see, if you go back a couple generations, most Lutheran Christians knew only the teaching of their pastor and interacted largely with only people that held the same teachings. But in our day and age, we regularly interact with all sorts of Christians and their teachers. And when you add in the access that we have to television, internet, magazines, and Christian bookstores, most Christians in their daily lives come into contact with all sorts of people and all sorts of teachings. And most of these teachings that they come into contact with look on the face value fine. After all, they're usually sort of stamped with the marks of cultural Christianity. The people that teach are usually called pastor, and they usually preach and teach their message from churches that don't look all that different from ours. But the problem is that many of these teachers in the church are teaching things that simply are not true. They teach that baptism is really of little value, and that it must be kept from children. They say that if we believe hard enough, all of our diseases will be gone. They say that Jesus is not present in the body and blood, in his body and blood in the Lord's Supper. They say that we must add works to what Jesus has done on the cross if we hope to be saved. They say that homosexuality is something that God himself creates. They say that some parts of the Bible simply contain error. You see, all of those false teachings are things that are explicitly taught by church bodies that have congregations right here in Ellsworth County. False teaching simply is no longer regularly identified, and so any teaching seems to go. God today seeks to convict us through his word that he gave to Jude that we are not to be indifferent to false teaching in the church. No, indeed, we are instead to guard ourselves against such things. We are to build ourselves up in the faith, and we are to pray in order that we might not fall captive to such teaching. We are to keep ourselves in the love of God as we await the return of our Lord Jesus. And we are to warn others as well, having mercy on those who are doubting the truth, and reaching right in and grabbing out of the fire those who have embraced false teaching, lest their faith be completely burned up. Oh yes, falling asteroids, setting cities ablaze, indeed more quickly capture our attention. But false teachings and their teachers indeed can burn up our salvation. While asteroids can destroy the temporal things of earth, false teachings can destroy the eternal things that God wants all of his people to have. Yes, when compared to all of the things mentioned in the book of Revelation, the false teachers talked about in Jude are no doubt the less spectacular end. God reminds us today that we are to look out for them, that we are to flee from them, and that we are to grab other people that are in their grips. And yet, as I said, it is a hard work to do in our day. For so often, those who are listening to false teachers are our friends and our family members. So today, as we gather in God's house, we must admit that at times we have simply become too lax about false teaching in the church. And that as we recognize that, we must also confess it to our God. We must admit that false teaching in the church hasn't always caught our attention, because those false teachings are usually spoken without any fireworks. We must admit that at times we have been lax simply because we don't want to offend the one doing the false teaching. God says that we must this day confess those things because they are sinful. We must indeed admit that we have been all too lax about false teaching in the church. And when we do this, then the one who is able to keep us from stumbling, and to present us blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, will indeed give us His forgiveness anew, His Spirit anew, His Word anew. And then we will have everything that we need. Everything we need as the end draws nearer and nearer. With those things, we are ready for the most spectacular end and the less spectacular end. Yes, we will be ready. Now then, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and